God's grace and peace to you from the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we are looking at chapter 5 of the story, the New Commandments and the New Covenant. And this is one of those chapters that I think makes it very apparent why reading the story Bible is so helpful for us. Because where oftentimes some of us can get very lost in all of the details involved in the story, all of the minutiae of the commandments and the preparations, the story Bible, in essence, lifts us up to like the 30,000 foot level so we can see the overarching pattern of what's taking place. We can get the story and not lose it in the forest of all the details. And this chapter is a perfect illustration of that. God's great deliverance has taken place. He has brought his people up out of Egypt. He's about to bring them to a new, wonderful, spacious land of their own, the promised land. But there is preparation to do. And if we think about it, it's very consistent with God, isn't it? Think of the years of preparation that he took getting Abraham ready, bringing him into the wilderness. The years of preparation of Joseph and of Moses himself. 80 years of preparation till God started to work in his life. It's no surprise that God wants to spend this time in the wilderness getting people on the same page with him. And one of the things that the people of God really needed to understand then, and I think also still need to understand today, is that God is not just trying to save us. That's not his only job. That's not God's only goal, is to wave a wand and grant you eternal life and let you float away in a cloud for the rest of your days. What God is seeking to do, and what he has been seeking ever since Adam and Eve in the garden, is he's looking for a partnership. God is looking for someone to join the family business, to be involved with him and shine his light into this world, because there's so much sin that people can see it. They can't always see God. Sometimes they get lost in the details, but they can see him through us shining light. They can see him through our obedience, our living differently than the rest of the world does. There's a place in the New Testament that tells us always to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have and to do it with gentleness and respect. Well, this season in the time of the Israelites is when God is getting them ready to be that answer. Did you hear it in the text there at the beginning that God said, "I have carried you out on eagle's wings, and now obey my covenant, obey me fully and keep my covenant, and that out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. You will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Not so they could just sit up on shelves like little Hummel figurines and be beautiful, but so that God could let us be his ministers to the rest of the world. It was true in the time of Moses. It was true in the time of Jesus. And it is still true in the time that we live in. God is looking for us to be his holy people, to shine his light and share his love and serve others. And it takes some preparation. For the Israelites, it took the days of waiting there at the foot of Mount Sinai. It took the receiving of the commandments that God would give to them so they knew what was going to set them apart from the rest of the world. They knew they would live truthfully instead of telling lies. They would live their marriages with integrity instead of wild carousing. They would live honoring life instead of being people who would sacrifice their own children to the false gods that they worshipped, as the people did, the Canaanites, in the land where God was going to send them. God taught them most of all, that first table of the law, that their relationship with him, their honoring of him, would be what would most set them apart, was so important. "I am holy," he says, and therefore I want you to respect me as holy, and then you live out and reflect my holiness by honoring my Sabbath. You know, I don't know how often we actually think of what the Sabbath really does for us, but as busy as the other 6 days of the week are with us hurrying and scurrying for our lower story details, I've got to get this, I have to buy that, I want to watch this, I need to take part in that. Wow, maybe God has slowed the whole world down so we can remember the value of a Sabbath, the value of reconnecting with the upper story that we have. For I am the Lord your God, and you'll have no other gods before me. It's almost like tuning an instrument once a week, tuning our heart and our mind to be in tune with the giver of life and with the one who is calling us to be a kingdom of priests and to love others in the world with his love. So he gave the commandments, but God also wanted to draw close to his people. We hear of this place, the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, where God would come and speak to Moses face to face as with a friend. This tent, this place that the people of God knew was where God would be, where they could meet him, his physical, visible presence on earth. This place was what God desired to dwell among his people. Do you know in the Gospel of John, it says that Jesus, the Word made flesh, came here on this earth and he tabernacled among us for a while. This idea of tabernacling, of God being with us, is very old and it's also still very relevant. For we have a God who says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them, and lo, I am with you always. Emmanuel, God with us. That's God's desire. There is this problem, though. There is this thing that is standing in the way of us being with God. And you see it in the fear of the Israelites. You see it in their mad cow disease moment as they make the golden calf. You see it in their sinfulness. Kind of reminds me of a little girl. She and her mother were at odds all day long. Maybe they had had it with all the pandemic sheltering in place. And the mother just said to her, daughter, I want you to sit your bottom on that chair right now, and then we're going to have a talk. And she was stubborn and folded her arms. And finally, she sat down, but she said, but I'm still standing up on the inside. It really describes the Israelites. The ones that God called a stiff-necked people, still standing up on the inside, still independent, complaining against God, making their own gods, doubting God. And then when he comes close, when they actually see his power and his holiness, because of their sin, they, like Adam and Eve, are so afraid they want to hide. You know, not that much has changed in our day. We also want to hide our sin. We also are afraid to come into the presence of a living God. We hope he'll grade on a curve. Well, I'm not as bad as Hitler. I'm not as bad as this person, as a white supremacist, or I'm not as bad as someone that would take someone else's life. We hope God will grade on a curve, but the truth is, he grades on a cross. God graded our sin as worthy of death and sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to atone for that sin. His blood pouring down on that cross made a new covenant because we and the people of Israel in today's chapter showed over and over again we cannot keep God's covenant. That blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross was foreshadowed back here in our chapter as Moses takes the blood of rams, pours half of it on the altar, and then sprinkles the rest of it on the people. It takes blood. It takes the shedding of blood for us to be made clean, for sacrifices to be made over and over again until Jesus comes, until he is the final sacrifice, that as he dies once for all, the system of sacrifice is over. But that's getting ahead in the story. It's connected to where we are today, but we have to save that for when we get further on. For now, we see these people, the fulfillment of God's planning with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see these people of God now in a covenant with him, however stiff-necked and struggling they may at times be. We see them now with God dwelling close and learning. Learning as they eat the bread, the manna he provides. Learning that when the pillar of fire moves from the tabernacle, that it's time for them to move out. Learning to live in rhythm with the God who wants to live with them. And you and I can still do that today. We do that when we honor the rhythm of the Sabbath and we pause and pray. We can even have Sabbath moments every day, every hour, when we reconnect with the God who wants to be with us. We retune to his ways so that our ways become his ways. We seek the strength of the Holy Spirit so that we may keep his commands to his glory. And when we sin, we rely again on the blood sacrifice so that we may be atoned for. The story of chapter 5, perhaps that stands out the most, is Moses' desire. His desire to, yes, intercede for the people and atone for them, but his desire, this God that he has seen, this God that God has spoken to him face to face as a friend, Moses loves God so much he wants even more. He asks God, "Show me your glory." And God lets Moses see a portion of his presence. May we catch glimpses of him in sunrises and sunsets. May we catch glimpses of the glory of God in the act of forgiveness of others about our sins and God forgiving us our sins for Jesus' sake. May we catch the glory of God as he invites us, earthly vessels with all of our flaws and weaknesses, as he invites you and me to be his daughters, his sons, his children of the Most High God, to be that kingdom of priests and declare his glory to the world by living in close relationship with him. May God help us all do that this week and all life long until we are with him in glory. Amen. Please join me now in a word of prayer. O gracious Father, as we come to this Memorial Day weekend, celebrating the freedom we have and the lives of those who would sacrifice that we can have this freedom, we remember also your sacrifices. We remember you giving your Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf, and we are eternally grateful for him. Eternally grateful that you have written our names in your book of life into your story of eternity. And as we have spent time this week, this day, remembering the love and the call that you have shown to us, as we remember the call that you offered not only to Moses, but to the people of Israel, to be a kingdom of priests, to serve you, to shine your light. We know, Lord, they fell short. We know that you still had grace not to reject them. We know that we fall short, and we thank you for that amazing grace that you never reject us. But Lord, let us always approach you as holy, as righteous, as perfect, pure, lovely, light within light, and life of all life. And may we in reverence hear your word, cling to your word, and pray that by your Holy Spirit we may keep your word, for you have empowered us by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and by the gift of the Holy Spirit he gave to us on Pentecost. Now, Lord, let us keep your commands, not because we must to avoid your wrath, but because we choose to, in love, response, and a Spirit-filled obedience. We pray that you will strengthen all who are weak, all who struggle. We pray for our nation to be one nation under God, and we ask you to guide and guard our leaders, our current military, our local governors, our first responders, our wonderful doctors, nurses, and all hospital workers, all those working to keep us safe and caring for our needs. We lift them up and pray you will meet their needs according to your glorious and love-filled riches in Christ Jesus. God, come close to all who need you now, and hear us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his unending favor and give you of his peace. Amen. Please, I invite you now to join us in a closing hymn. You're welcome to sing with us as we sing together, Lord of All Hopefulness. It's in Lutheran Service Book number 738, and we sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Let's sing to the God who gives us hope. Mess around with that.